This is Tommy from Aeon, and you're listening to Metal Speak.
Where do you think you're going? Nobody's leaving. Nobody's walking out on this fun old-fashioned family Christmas. No, no, we're all in this together. This is a full-blown four-alarm holiday emergency here. We're going to press on, and we're going to have the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap danced with Danny fucking K. And when Santa squeezes his fat white ass down that chimney tonight, he's going to find the jolliest bunch of assholes this side of the nut house.
It's Metal Speak with your host, Dingle.
That's it for this lesson. Now, we're not going to be meeting again until after the holidays. So just keep practicing on your own as best you can. And well done, everyone. Great, great work.
Derek!
Put that cookie down! Now!
Legs!
But I didn't get to shake my belly like a bowl full of jelly!
And Cody!
And I want to look them straight in the eye, and I want to tell them what a cheap, lying, no-good, rotten, four-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dog-kissing, brainless, dickless, hopeless, heartless, fat-ass, bug-eyed, stiff-legged, spotty-lipped, worm-headed sack of monkey shit he is! Hallelujah! Holy shit!
Bitch!
Merry Christmas.
Indeed.
Welcome to Metal Speak.
Jared wins on the clips.
Yep. Those are all his. So, guys, how you been? It's been a while.
Right?
Been good.
End of the year. Fucking A.
Here we are.
It's always cliche, but where did the year go?
Where does the... Seriously, like, the first part of the year, like, right up until, like, July, just seemed like to kind of drag, and then it was, like, from after, like, the 4th of July on, like, it's like I blinked and I missed it.
Yeah, there are some times I'm, like, thinking about, like, didn't I just do this?
Yeah.
Like, that was a year ago?
Yeah. Yeah.
What? We're in a blender, now we're saving lives? What?
Right?
So, yeah, but we're troopers. We're going to do our top 10. We're going to try to narrow down the list to 10. So that'll be fun.
Like Sophie's Choice.
Yep. Before we get to that, is it worth talking about new releases or anything like for the rest of the year?
You know, the end of the year is always a little slow. I don't think.
Stuff to look forward to.
Kind of feel bad for the things that just end up being, that's just how it ends up being scheduled, you know?
Like, yeah.
Everybody by now is like, here's everything for the year. The year's not over yet.
Yeah. Well, and it's tough too, because the, it pretty much goes dead until, like, March. Like, mid-February, I think, is where it starts to ramp up, you know? But, yeah, it's like movies and anything else. Like, any media that's released in, like, the January-February time frame is just, like...
Yeah.
Not, you know, so...
Don't expect a lot.
Yeah. Next couple weeks a little slow. I guess the stateside physical release of the new Sentinex. It's been on Spotify for a couple weeks and it's really good. If you haven't checked it out, these guys. I discovered these guys probably 11 years ago or so, and like really good melodic kind of black and death metal. They got kind of an old school crunch, but really really good stuff. Yeah, it's. It's pretty much all I can see that's worth a damn. Yeah.
Through the end of the pudding.
Through the end of the year here, so.
Yay.
Yay.
All right, well, because, you know, we're not going to pass up a chance to talk about Breaking Bad at all. I just want to, like, play this a little bit. I think you found it, Jared.
Yes.
What? This is my product.
I made you my bitch
when we started all this.
I don't want to play the whole thing, but I'll put a link in the episode. It was definitely worth checking out multiple times. It's great.
Yeah, it was good comedy.
Really, really good. That guy's super talented. One of my favorite things about it is it's not like auto-tuned and stuff. You know, mm-hmm. most of the stuff that you see like that nowadays, it's tweaked and stuff, and that's just pure lines
yep.
that he found, and they rhyme. Oh, it's great. I mean, right. the phrasing is like really spot on, and to that music with the beat going, oh, man. Yeah. That is really good stuff. So, cheers, whatever the guy's name, Matthijs Vlot, whatever.
You guys catch the official trailer for Better Call Saul?
Yeah, well, I don't know if I saw the trailer. I saw
a sneak preview.
Well, yeah. That's what I mean, yeah.
Where he's in the toll booth?
Yeah, with Mike.
With Mike, yeah.
Oh, I was stoked about that. You guys gonna check it out or no?
I will.
I'll probably watch
it. I'll give it a chance.
Yeah.
I was actually really excited. I've been on like a Dexter binge, and Mike made an appearance. He's like he's one of the head FBI guys, I think, in the, the second season.
Yep.
And I was like, ah!
Yeah, I'm stoked. Bob Odenkirk he's hilarious.
He did a really good job. So
yeah.
With that character, I'm really excited to see what they do with it.
I guess I should probably like not have my hopes up too high, though. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I'm trying to just take it for what it is.
Right.
Yeah, you know. Spinoffs are always tough. You know, I think probably the template that I would be somewhat, you know, where I would say I'm cautiously optimistic, if you look at that 70s show, which was fucking hilarious, but then they came up with that 80s show, and it only lasted like...
Forgot about that. I don't think I ever watched it.
For like a month?
That's the point.
And the thing was, like, that 70s show was good because it was a show that took place in the 70s, and they made little callbacks here and there, but that wasn't, like, the crux of it. But then when they went for the 80s show, it was like it was too dependent on sight gags and just, like, making fun of the 80s, you know what I mean? Instead of actually just being a show that was supposed to take place, which was the main difference, so,
yeah. Huh.
But anyway, that's where I experience a little bit of trepidation with that. And then, you know, they're also talking about this Walking Dead
spinoff,
yeah. What, Cobalt or something?
I haven't looked into it. I just saw they casted some people, and I'm like, that'll be interesting, I guess.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
It's supposed to be in a parallel timeline, but, I'm like, we'll see.
Yeah.
You know, because you can't, where are you getting the material? At least where they have a pretty rich source. You know, where the graphic novels are concerned. So, you know, if you're basically building the story from the ground up, if you're dealing with a completely different group of people.
Yeah.
You know.
It could work.
So.
Excited about Better Call Saul because, his name's not Saul. His name's like Jimmy McGillis, mm-hmm. I think McGillis. And so my prediction is that somehow there's going to be some reference to, like, a Colorado like mining town that went like gambling, and he founded JP McGill's. You guys, totally like he. There's a tie-in, right? JP McGill's in Cripple Creek.
No.
Jimmy McGill's. Yes, calling it right now. Write it down. Okay.
How much are you willing to wager?
My friendship. Oh yeah. Yeah. Jared also found this.
Is it that time?
Coming that time? Or drumming? You guys ready? We're gonna do the Triple X version. You got to, right?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Okay, here we go.
You have to explain what it is.
There's a face.
Oh, there's
and
a
you're
timer.
Supposed to decide.
There's a timer.
I'm saying that's coming.
That's probably coming.
Yeah, coming.
Oh, I forgot to click. I forgot it's on the. But I was right. Yeah, sorry.
Drumming.
Okay. Yep. It's a face that's either coming or drumming, so you have to pick.
Coming.
Drumming.
I'm gonna be the tiebreaker. I'm gonna say coming.
Damn it!
I saw the color. And I thought there was like some kinky shit going on.
I don't know.
Oh, that's drumming. It's
coming.
That's drumming.
Yeah! Alright. Wasn't she Jay Leno's drummer? Oh, that's gotta be coming.
That may be.
Coming?
Yeah.
That's
terrible at this.
What the?
Maybe drumming.
I'm staying out of this
stage
one.
Lighting.
Yeah.
We'll go drumming. It is tough. You know what I say? It's hard. It's tough.
Yeah.
I think that's coming.
Is that Stu? Damn it! That was Portnoy. Okay.
Oh, that's coming.
That's coming.
All right.
Yeah.
The sound.
Whoa.
What'd you say?
Coming.
Coming. Oh, yeah.
Wow, and it's like 70s, man.
Not totally
Grizzly fresh. Bear. That's coming.
That?
I know.
When she wakes up in the
morning. You're a ginger lovely.
Six out of ten. Pretty good. It's a pretty good time. So I'll put a link to that in the episode post too. It's a fun time. Started making me think, like, what can we come up with? Because that, what was it? Was the IKEA one? IKEA or death?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So wait,
it
where's
all
the
black metal bands.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the picture where it's both coming and drumming? Like, the one that just fucks you over. Like, nope, you're wrong. It was both.
Trick question. Where's the drumsticks go in that picture?
Right.
Today's a momentous occasion, sad occasion. 10 years ago, of course, Dimebag Darrell was murdered on stage. So just want to mention it. You know what was weird is Terry used to play bass for Pain Machine. He messaged me this morning. He's like, don't forget to take 5 minutes alone today for Dimebag. And I was like, oh, right on. And then six or seven Pantera songs like came up when I was just shuffling through. My phone today, and the first one was 5 minutes alone. I was like, dude.
It's a sign.
Totally, exactly.
Dime.
Yep.
Gotcha.
So that was pretty crazy.
So do you guys remember what you were doing when you found out?
Yeah, somebody at work told me. I was at work, and I think I was listening to Bob and Tom, and I'm always a day behind, you know, because I listen to the podcast, so I'm not usually up on, like, current events.
Yeah.
And this other guy that I work with, he leaned over and he was like, hey, I think I just heard that Dimebag Darrell, he's like, you like Pantera, right? And I was like, yeah. So I think Dimebag Darrell got killed. I was like, no. And I think I Googled it or something and I was reading. And I remember I messaged or emailed my boss at the time and I was like, hey, like one of my biggest guitar heroes was killed last night. I'm probably not going to be worth much today. Sorry.
Yeah.
I still worked, but I didn't take the day off. I just was like... I was going to, like, mess with me all day and stuff.
Maybe. I thought it was a hoax in MySpace because that was a thing at the time. Mm-hmm. I was just at home, and I was like, whatever. And then I kept seeing, like, for another day or two. And I was like, oh, I'm a jackass. And that, yeah, I was just at home, and I found out that way. Nothing exciting, really.
Yeah, I was listening to the radio in the morning. And I had, you know, this little, just little boombox thing sitting on the... sitting in my bathroom counter, and so at least I catch the morning show with Ross Ford on Kilo, and I was actually climbing into the shower when he announced it, so I actually just pulled the curtain shut.
Oh man.
And he's like, yeah, Dimebag Darrell, you know, gunned down. And I was like, holy fuck, like, I'm just standing there for a second like, really?
Am I dreaming?
I mean, no more real. Pantera, like, I like it, just, you know what I mean? Like, that's when it, you know. Because you always kind of wondered, even with Damage Plan and stuff like that, you know, could they work someday. Their shit out and do something someday? And right. Then it was just like, that's just done.
Yep.
Like, okay. So, yeah.
Never got a chance to see him.
Me either.
Really?
No, unfortunate.
Did I mention? That's the moment that, like, changed my whole life, you guys.
Yeah.
Once or twice.
Yeah. Not at the City Op, but where was it? The
Red Rocks.
Yeah.
I saw them at Red Rocks and the City Auditorium, and then Denver Coliseum twice, I think.
I think the City Op was the one where I had like five or six classmates that were, because they did a signing in Independent downtown and then did the show that night, and everyone was all about it and had... Remember one of my buddies, Heath, came in and he had him sign his arm. So it was just all. And he had big fat arms. He's a big fat guy. He's still fat. I saw him a couple weeks ago. But yeah, he had a. And then he had him sign his shirt at the same time. So he wore the shirt to school the next day and stuff like that.
Yeah. I remember jumping in the pit like they I think they opened the same way they opened. It was just like a few months earlier that they were at Red Rocks and they had Suicide Note Part 1 with like a big curtain up. You know, they just had the music playing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the curtain drops and Suicide Note Part 2 comes in. And so they started and I was like, oh, they're going to do Suicide Note Part 2. So I ran down and I was like, oh, this is going to be cool. This is going to be cool. And I remember I jumped in the pit and I got thrown around and I looked down and I was like, I'm wearing my Rage Against the Machine shirt. Like, that's basically a target that says beat me up like right. Hard. I have no business being a pitter, but plus I'm not like a big pitter anyway. So I was like, I was in there for like 5 or 6 seconds. I was like, okay, I'm getting out now. I'm going to go back up in the balcony and watch.
I got my fill.
it was a great time though. Yeah, still best show I've ever seen. Just one of those things that will never be topped, I don't think, ever for me. So
the man that got me into pinch harmonics.
Yep.
And when I had Floyd guitars trying to do the harmonics and
yeah.
Raising them.
No, I still remember. I remember the first time I saw him do that. I didn't know that was like a thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, he's not pushing like pedals. So does he have somebody off stage like making those sounds? Mm-hmm. Like he's not just doing that with his hands. I'm so ignorant. That happened also with the Animals as Leaders, Tosin.
Oh,
remember?
Yeah.
Remember
yeah,
I was
yeah.
talking about. I was like, dude, I was watching him play. He's got like a delay effect or something. There's no way. You're like, no, he's actually playing all those notes.
I would have thought the same if I had not seen that instructional video.
I don't know. Just I guess I have like a. My mind isn't like quite like expanded enough to assume all these things are actually possible or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, so cheers, Dimebag. Rest in peace.
Yep.
We're gonna take a break and play a tune from this Russian three-piece. This guy messaged me out of nowhere. I don't know where he got my name. Tacit Fury. Have you guys heard of them?
Mm-mm.
I think he messaged me too, but I can't.
I assumed it was something like he must have found the Metal Speak page and then saw us or something. And
yeah,
because I don't think the Metal Speak
or just off, yeah, or just off of band likes or whatever. Sometimes these guys will just yeah. You know, they'll find a certain band page and then they'll just message everyone on the list.
Yeah.
So I seem to recall the band name, but I can't.
Yeah, he messaged me and I was like, well, y'all check it out and I actually like it. It's production's really good. Lots of groove going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, so I was like, yeah, we'll play some stuff. So, this first one is Lacerated, Strangled, Impaled, and it's from the album A Social Berserker. And when we get back, we'll do the top 10 of 2014. Welcome back. So, let's talk about how difficult this was to narrow this list down to 10 albums.
We're going to do honorable mentions at the end, right?
Yeah, let's do those at the end.
Ones that didn't quite make the cut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, like, I don't know if I was as blown away this year as, like, other years. I mean, some of that I think is because, you know, when we first started doing this, I had this long lull where I just really wasn't paying attention to a lot of stuff. I just was overwhelmed and I just kind of gave up. And so when I started getting back into it, it was almost like, you know, rediscovering metal, you know what I mean? All this like new stuff that I just wasn't really paying attention to. So
yeah,
some of that I think is that that's just kind of worn off. And so there was a lot of stuff that I liked a lot. And then I was like, well, I don't know if I want to include this album in my top 10, because I feel like, I mean, is it more because I just the band, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. the reputation of the band, like, so, because I think I've done that in the past, where it was just like, you know, this band, like, has this reputation, and the album's really good, so I'll,
feel obligated to put
right,
it on.
Yeah. Right, right. And this time I was like, yeah, I don't think I want to do that. I think I want to just go strictly on albums, so, yeah, I think there's a couple surprises. In fact, one of them I just added on Thursday, just like 4 days ago or whatever.
Mm.
Which is going to be interesting.
That's a late time to put Taylor Swift in.
I know, right? I was holding out the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a tough year, and I think where I don't know. I think, you know, when you start kind of surveying the year-end lists that people put out, there's a tendency to gravitate towards, I don't know. I don't know if you want to call it the pitchfork syndrome, where it's like the more quirky and kind of like snobbish and kind of out of left field it is, like the more likely it is to show up on, you know, on a bunch of top tens. So
top tens are hipster lists now.
Well, yeah. And I find myself, I'm like, well, okay, so I could follow suit and I could look at, because I mean, there's a lot of albums that came out that were, you know, kind of in that vein, you know, so you could look at that and say, okay, but, you know, and then on the flip side, there was a lot of stuff that came out that was, I mean, you know, as far as, like, you know, pure ability and, you know, technical prowess and just pure, like, virtuosity, where, like, the wow factor right out the gate was like, holy shit, you know, but then you get 4 or 5 listens into it and you're just, like, worn out, you know what I mean? Yep, like, you're just yeah. like, ugh, you know, so that... I basically just, I went down the list, I kind of, you know, I had a list of like, you know, 15 or 20 albums, and then I just kind of, okay, which ones am I constantly going back to?
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, which ones, when I get past the wow factor, am I actually
still
on repeat and really, you know, having that, you know, organic experience with? And it kind of goes back, there was an article that I posted the other day, I don't know if you guys got a chance to read it, but it was talking about, you know, streaming versus
vinyl
and stuff like that.
I didn't read it yet. I added it to my reading list, but I didn't read it yet.
Yeah. But, it, you know, it just talks about the, you know, this kind of disposable relationship we have with music and how... You know, streaming has made it easier for, you know, has made access easier, but it makes it easier for you to just kind of flip past it and not develop, you know, like I said, an organic or symbiotic relationship. And, you know, we talked about that years and years ago about the importance of, or, you know, how much importance I placed on, you know, buying the physical album and,
yeah.
you know, wanting to look through the liner notes and stuff like that. And I've kind of gravitated away from that, but I'm finding that even if I am chiefly using Spotify to, you know, to listen to albums, the upside is that where before I was spending a lot of money on music and I would buy, you know, 4 or 5 albums like a week, and maybe 2 or 3 of them I'd be really impressed with. And
yeah.
the other, you know, you'd have one or, you know, the other 3 or so that, yeah, 1 or 2 good songs, but it wasn't really anything to write home about. And all of a sudden I'm out, you know, 60, 80, 90 bucks,
yeah.
you know, in a month yeah. on a CD that I'm probably never going to listen again. And I could go sell back and I'm going to make, you know, $4 against the 16 I paid for it. So, you know, with the streaming services and stuff like that, I'm able, it lets you kind of weed or kind of wade through the bullshit, the stuff you don't like. And it's, I honestly, I've this year I've bought most of the physical copies of the stuff that I've found and liked on Spotify. Cause you want to have that,
yeah,
you know, that kind of organic, you know, relationship with it and really dive into it. So Most of the ones that I have on my list, I have physical copies of, and that's what really helped me whittle it out.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, yeah. Did I actually go out and buy this? Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
You know, so that was my rationale.
Yeah. And Spotify is great for discovery, but I think that it puts too much emphasis on, and I think it started back with the CDs, you know, I can skip a song.
Oh, that's a good point. Oh.
Yeah, and it puts it, you know, you could go back to the 70s when, you know, you had to make a whole record front to back and it was just an experience, you know, it was just right. Something to take in as a whole. You didn't really segment the songs, and it's just, like you said, a disposable commodity. You just,
yep. Yeah. Give me my songs. Yep. Skip, skip, skip.
Yeah. So, for my process, I really just, you know, like you said, I went through, like, okay, do I really want to do, I had to, you know, I felt obligated trying to, oh, this is a good pick for the year because they're popular. And I'm, wait, what the fuck am I thinking? I don't really care about that. Who cares if it's somebody else's list? This is
right.
A top 10 that I'm making. So is it good? Is it, you know, is it a repeat? You know, is it a Slayer doing another Slayer album type of deal? Or is it, you know, something that I feel is a good product? How much have I listened to it? Just all those standards, you know, shit.
Yeah. Yep. Cool.
So we're either going to lose all credibility with everyone we know.
We're being too damn selfish.
Or,
well, by everyone we know, you mean like the five people that listen or whatever.
Right. Four.
All right. Well, we'll get this kicked off here.
One guy that listens on accident.
Yeah. Well, what the fuck? I was trying to go to NASCAR Weekly.
I was looking for Metal Spark. What the fuck?
All right.
Lead it off. We went in order, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It was like, you guys recognize that?
No.
It's Nothing. We got their promo like a while back and played a couple tunes episode. And I don't, you know, we get so much promo stuff and I really don't listen to like 1 or 2% of it.
Yeah.
But I don't know, for some reason, something about this just kind of made me think, I should check it out. And I really enjoyed it. It's the kind of stuff I feel like I have to be in the mood for. Mm-hmm. But when I am, it's like spot on. The vocal production is mostly like that. Just real kind of like heavy sounding, like thick, you know, like spread out kind of like that. And it's kind of moody stuff, but it's really good. There, it's not all clean like that. There's some like heavy guitar stuff. It actually kind of reminds me of Alcest. You mentioned those guys a few years ago, or that guy. And same kind of stuff. It's just like if you're in the mood for that kind of mellowish, kind of heavy guitar, it's really good stuff. So yeah, anyway, the album is Guilty of Everything. Nothing.
Oh, guy. All right. Any guesses? Yeah, that was Dark Matter by Generation of Vipers.
Oh, okay.
off of Coffin Wisdom, which came out a couple months ago. I think these guys were on... They might have been on my 2012 list when they had their last album, Howl and Filth. So they're kind of a DIY band up to this point. You know, most of the stuff was on Bandcamp. This one actually came out on Translation Loss, so this is kind of their major label debut. But, you know, I it's one of those things you kind of have to be in the mood for. But, you know, I had a month or two there where I was really on kind of the sludge metal kick. Like, you know, anything that was just really murky and doomy. You know, especially after I saw that Neurosis show, like, I was just, like, anything that was along those lines, I just, like, I had to have it. So, and I mean, I was already a fan, kind of a predisposed fan of them anyway, but that whole album is just raw, it's dark, it's mean, you know, structured well, they got some kind of, you know, some softer violin elements at times, but then it just comes back and just kind of bludgeons you over the back of the head and hits you even harder, you know, after it settles down. So, awesome, awesome album, so...
Cool.
Yeah, mine are way more mainstream. They're trendy. Hipster lift.
I got a couple of trendies, though.
That's okay.
Don't you worry.
Alrighty. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so...
Like, did they have an album this year?
Yeah, Bloodstone Diamonds, mostly because Machine Head is kind of one of those hate breeds or those slayers. They kind of, you know, they don't change the wheel or anything, but their last album, Until Locust, was just a little too far out there, a little too experimental. It wasn't very good. This one's just a return to form, and it's just solid tunes. If you're into Machine Head, it's them to a T in their best form, so...
Right on.
Yeah.
Cool.
Trend whore.
I know. You just wait.
You just wait, boy.
All right. I'm wondering if this is going to be on you guys' list. I'll just preface this by saying if we did top 10 songs, this is number one for me.
All right. Yeah.
Intervals?
Yeah. I'll have to just go to the chorus here. Like, best vocal, like, performance, I think, in the hooks. And, I mean, you know, Mike's a great singer, too, but the verse vocal hooks are great. The chorus is, like, the best chorus of the year. Like, I had to press it. Great riffs, too. Like, I can't get enough of that song.
That one's just almost bittersweet.
Yeah, I know. He left, right? Yeah. So, but that didn't affect
Johnson of progressive bands anymore.
He's what?
He's the Nate Johnson of progressive.
Yeah, right?
That's a good tune.
Yeah, no, it's one of those things that gets better every time I hear it somehow. You know what I mean? Totally lost my train of thought.
Mike, chorus, amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, just super catchy. You know, so the rest of the album's like really good too. It kind of grew on me. Like, I remember the first time I went through it, aside from this song, like, I don't think anything really like blew me away.
Mm-hmm.
But I kept coming back to this one, and like we were talking about, if I shuffle through, that's I guess one of the my favorite things about the digital age is just being able to just, here's a whole pool of songs and just,
yeah,
whatever shows
9,000 songs go.
Yeah, and just whatever shows up. I just, it's, you know, not knowing what's going to come up. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, you know, the more that these songs came up, I was like, man, this is really, really good shit. Great riffs, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Great production. So, yeah, I don't know. It's just, that chorus is just like sticks with me. For days.
Forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I forgot what my... Oh, yeah. I remember where this one is. All right.
Still got it.
Nothing. Mm. That was Dead Man's Path by Crocodile. Or Crocodile. There's no E on the end, so I'm not sure how they're pronouncing that, but it's Nahash is their album from this year. And again, this is one, I don't know, that whole fucking album, like, it stuck with me. Like, and it just, I kept going back to it. And stuff like that, where it's just like those really groovy rhythms, like, There's so many influences coming in from so many sides. You know, you got a little bit of Crowbar in there. You got a little bit of DEP on, you know, on some of the other songs. So, you know, lots of influences, lots of just killer song structures. Like, I think I posted it and Sizzle like latched onto it and he was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
You know? So he was reposting it. Like, it's just an awesome, awesome album. So again, just as far as, you know, stuff that I just kept going back to, this was definitely up there.
Cool.
Yeah.
All
right.
Anything?
Don't got it.
You're saying I'm going to punch myself in the dick.
But. It's okay. So that's Exit Wounds from The Haunted.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was kind of, you know, everybody was anticipating the album. And I was worried about, oh, great, it's getting all this fandom and all this press, and it's going to on the face. But no. Whoever they've got in their lineup now, it's just balls to the wall. It's just
awesome. Ola's in that one, aren't they?
Ola?
Ola?
Oh, England.
Yeah.
England. Yeah. Yes, he is with them.
Your guy.
My God. An internet hero. Forgot about that. What am I doing?
Look, how do you not like this? All you had to say was Ola's in it.
Yeah, Ola.
We would have all understood.
He can make anything sound good.
That's right.
That's okay. I don't do research either. Mike left intervals?
What?
All right. I think we're at number 8.
Yes.
Okay. I think this is my last not as metal pick.
That's all right.
Detective Porn Part 2?
Yeah. Close. To another disruption, to another explosion. I raise my glass to another investment, to the future of wasteland. We're just pulling the waistband. I know at least I fought, at least I'll fight. At least I know, at least I tried. I know I fought, I know I fight. Listen to this chorus here. This is like just fucking.
Did you just get into this band?
Yes.
I know who it is. I'll...
We're right here. Ugh, dude, that's so fucking badass. Now, so tell me who you think it is.
Watch me be wrong within Temptation.
You're close.
Okay.
All right, yeah, because Corey, who used to play bass for Sin Petra way back in the day, he was just talking about Within Temptation. Mm-hmm. It's, like, super big. And I actually didn't, like, check them out too much.
Mm-hmm.
But last Thursday, I'm driving to work and listening to Bob and Tom, and there's this story about this Dutch band called... I had to look. This Dutch symphonic metal band called Delane.
Mm.
And then the news story, they were in the news because they were playing a show and their bass player got hit in the groin.
Oh, yeah, with testicle blow.
Yeah, with a beanbag from like a beanbag cannon or something.
Yes.
Like ruptured his nut. He was like bleeding, but he finished the show.
Yeah.
So they're like, you know, way to go. Like, that's dedication. But it was hilarious. They're like symphonic metal. Like, whoa, what's symphonic? And I'm just like, I never heard of them, but they're like, oh, we have some Delane here. And they played, not this song, but it was this other one. They played like 7 seconds of it. And it was, you know, the female vocal, but then these guitars came in. And I was like, wow. And I'm driving, and it was enough to like, I looked up on YouTube. I was like, Delane, and I found it. And it was the same song that they played. And I listened to the whole thing off of YouTube driving. And I've never been that into like something that I just heard, you know, to just... I need this now.
Yeah.
So I listened to it on YouTube and I was like, it just totally blew me away. I was like, this is awesome. I feel like that was what I've been waiting for a while, something new. You know what I mean? And I'm guessing that Within Temptation is kind of similar. And what the interesting thing is, this band was formed by, I think, Within Temptation's original keyboardist.
Oh, really? Okay.
Like he had some disease and he had to leave the band or something.
I don't know the history of them too much.
Yeah, then he started this band, so that was an interesting tie-in. But anyway, by the time I got to work, I actually went and I bought the album from my phone. I've never done that either. I'm usually like, if I need something that much, I'm like, I'll just wait till I get home and I'll just buy it like on my Mac or whatever. I don't.
Yeah.
But I was like, well, I think I need. Partly because I was like, if the rest of the album's this good, it's probably going to be on my top 10 because I really, really like. It's fresh to me. Like I needed something like.
That wasn't, you know, kind of Nightwish.
Yeah. Well, see, maybe it's just because I never really gotten into the like, I guess, symphonic metal stuff at all. And the Within Temptation, I think they're more like operatic vocal,
kind of,
which
is
not on here.
Yeah.
This girl, it's kind of funny because I don't think she's like a great singer, but I don't think she's trying like to be. You know, she's just like, this is how I sing, and
kind of like the girl from Churches.
Yeah. It's just like, this is just the way I sing, and like I don't care. And I much prefer that to like the over singing. Like there was a time when Kim was into Jessica Simpson, and I can't not stand that because she's like over pronouncing every syllable, and it's like nails on a chalkboard to me. I cannot hang with that. So this, it's like, you know, it's actually funny because then have you seen you guys watched American Hustle?
Yeah.
And it reminded me, there's a Jennifer Lawrence's character is talking about nail polish, and now she's like, this nail polish, you gotta smell it. It like smells really good, but it also smells like trash. He's like, you know how things are like that sometimes. Like it's really, really good, but there's something about it that's like sour, but you still like really like it. I'm like, that's how these vocals are. Like I think they're like good, but they're like, she's not really that good. Like,
I've heard people describe Kings of Leon the same way.
Oh, really?
Where he's, you know, like he hits the notes and he sings okay, but there's like a grainy, kind of grady quality to his that just rubs it. But it's just annoying enough that you'll still put up with it because it's, you know, there's still some decent songs. But yeah.
Yeah, this is it's a great album. The album is called The Human Contradiction. I would recommend it, especially if you're looking for something different.
Yeah.
If you're like into that or not. But, The album itself, I mean, it's great. There's like four or five live tracks that sound really good. The production on the whole thing is really good. The production on live tracks really good. And then the last two tracks are just pure orchestral versions of two of the songs. It's like, it's total, like, complete package. It's the kind of thing that I would be motivated to go buy the physical just to see, like, what else, you know, does the album, you know, bring. Like, is the booklet, like, super awesome, too? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, just really impressed. All the songs are just as good. That one's my favorite. The best part about that is that chorus. Man, it's the kind of thing, like, with the Atlas Hour chorus. He only does it twice. You, like, listen to it, and you're like, this is the best chorus ever. And then you're like, they only do it twice, man. It's like, they could have done more.
Give me
like,
more.
Like, the whole song could have been... And with this, the end of the song, it's that same chorus, but they, like, do this extended kind of version where they draw it out. It's so inspiring to me, like songwriting-wise. I'm like, that's the kind of stuff that I want to do, is, like, something that's really, really good and catchy.
Yeah.
And do it a couple times, and then make it better, like, somehow. Ah, man. I can't get enough of that shit.
Hmm.
Yeah, great stuff. Ooh. Delane.
Nice.
D-E-L-A-I-N.
Go support them. I'm sure they have hospital bills.
Yeah. And a way to go, bass player.
Right? My merch, I gotta fix my ball. They put it on the shirt, save the ball.
Oh, I know what this is.
Oh.
No, don't tell me.
I have a guess.
Oh, it's Ghost Brigade.
Yeah.
This is Departures too, huh? Yeah.
I'm gonna let it run to the chorus because the chorus rules.
Yeah.
That little drop beat right in the middle of that verse, like, I don't know, like, just that little half beat that it does, like, it kind of catches you off guard.
Close to home, yep. Did it?
Yeah, the thing is, you hate to call something, one of the best albums of the year on the merits of one song. Not to say that, you know, Electric Complex is another one where it has that, like, that
totally.
You know, when you get past, like, the 7-minute mark and it hits that kind of main riff that they do, like...
Even the beginning and then the little extra noises and stuff. Oh, man.
Yeah, like, just the whole album. You know, you're always kind of like, you're always 50-50 on, you know, are they going to be able to duplicate what they've done, you know, the last few albums, and... was not disappointed. But yeah, that's one of those, like, you know, especially, you know, when we talk about vocal hooks... And the chorus on that thing just kind of hits you right in the feels. You're just like, you know, and you just latch onto it. I don't know if there's a way to track your plays on Spotify, but I actually went out and bought this album, so I have the physical that I've listened to in the car. Plus whatever I've streamed on Spotify, and I, you know, if they get paid per play, I've probably paid their, at least one of their guys' mortgage payments, for the year, just off of, Spotify plays. But yeah, excellent, excellent album all around. I will say, I will take issue, if you go by the physical there, you know, it's, they put the sticker on the album that says for fans of, you know, yada, yada, yada. And they put like Isis, Neurosis, Yesu, and Godflesh, and I was like,
what?
Huh? I wanted to ask the label, I'm like, did you even listen to this?
What?
Like, I would say,
that's gotta be like a mistake on the, like,
I know,
pressing.
Right. I'm like, well, how did you,
whoops, wrong sticker.
Yeah, wrong album. Like, oh, did we put this, like, oh, I was trying to wrap my head around that. I was,
they're like, leave it, it'll get more listeners. Like,
yeah,
I was just, the audience base or something.
I'm like, where do you get, no, I mean, Insomnium, you know, Army and Gatherum, right. Stuff like, you know, In Flames even, to
Anathema,
some extent.
Maybe.
Yeah, like, yeah, now, yeah, Anathema, like, I was like, Isis, Yesu, really? That's the comparison you're going to draw? All right.
Can I say, you mentioned that little drop, and they're like pros at that, when they have that little bit of, like, pause. And there's one song, I think it's The Knife or Knife, where they don't do it, and I listen to it, I'm like, why didn't they do that? It's like, it's right, it should be right there.
Yeah. I remember listening to it.
I'm like, it's the weirdest thing, like, I almost don't like this song because of that. I'm like, why? Something's wrong.
You should have done it there, yeah.
And to like, I mean, I could see, like, if they're like, we're not gonna do it because we always do it, let's do something different. I can totally see that, but I remember, like, listening to that riff, like, here's a cut. What? No? Okay, well, then next time. Okay.
Right.
No? Oh, well, then it's gotta be this time. Anyway. But yeah, great album.
Yep.
Nice. Okay.
Gates.
Yeah. Yep. So if I was worried about how The Haunted was going to turn out, I was not worried about this one, but it was just like, oh god, one of the people that just got me into metal. Yes! More! Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the vocals on that thing. I don't know if he's older or whatever, but they just kind of sound like raspy and worn out a little bit. But, I mean, that's part of the appeal of it, too. That's always been the way that At the Gates is delivered. But just solid tunes. You guys have these detailed explanations.
No, that's
like,
all right.
I really fucking liked it.
Yeah, because I don't know. Like, everyone I know, like, I know a lot of people that, you know, been, like, you know, confirmed melodic death metal fans for a lot of years, and we're just like over this one. Like, I listened to it and I was just kind of like,
well, see, that's like, this will be a big surprise. I'd never heard At the Gates. Like, I'd seen him in, like, I think Metal Sucks did like a top, you know, 20 metal bands of all time or something, and they were on there. I was like, oh wow, but it wasn't enough to make me go, like, well, you should check them out.
Yeah,
and so when I saw that this came out, I was like, oh, that's cool, I'll check it out. And the music was cool, and then the vocals came in. I was like, is this the way the vocals usually are? I mean, I was just surprised. I wasn't expecting it, because it's like, it sounds like Obituary vocals with, like, kind of the
old In Flames.
So, yeah. So, anyway, so I listened to it, you know, quite a few times, and I liked it, but it didn't catch me. But I wanted to ask about the vocals, because I don't know.
It's along the same lines. I think pretty similar to, you know, Slaughter of the Soul.
Yeah. Which, same delivery, just slightly different tone, really. Yeah. And I've always, for, I don't know if it's being a guitar player or musician or whatever, but I can block out vocals a lot more easily. That's not, like, the first thing I listen to. I'm paying more and more attention as I'm getting older, quote-unquote. Yeah. But for some reason, I can block them out pretty well, so it's not, like, a deciding factor.
Yeah, and I didn't really fixate on the vocals. Like, you know, I was really, you know, where I was listening to it is I, you know, like the first time I listened to it, I went out for a run. You know, I got through the entire album, you know, on the run. And so it was like...
I could see how just, people think it's like a little derivative, you know, but when you essentially founded a genre...
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if I'd call it derivative because they were definitely at the forefront, you know, of that movement. So you can't, you know.
That's the irony of the people that have said that, because I've seen a few people like, oh, this sounds like all the other melodic.
Well, yeah, but in all fairness, when you haven't put out an album in 11 years, it's, you
yeah.
know. But, yeah, I don't know. There just wasn't really, there were a couple of riffs, but there wasn't anything, like, mind-blowing, you know what I mean? It was like, you know, my buddy Ken was like, he said he was like two songs in and just fawning over it, and I was like, okay, yeah, I'm really excited, you know, and I went home and listened to it, and I was like...
Mm-hmm. It is, I've noticed it's one of the most polarizing releases. You either love it or you hate it, there's, you know... Or,
I didn't hate
or
it.
Or, well, I mean, I indifferent, just, but, you yeah, know, it's just, people mm-hmm. have an opinion about it.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying.
I was just like, next. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know. Another credibility killer, number 90.
Oh, whatever, dude. Whatever.
All right. Lost track. I think it was 7, maybe? Number 7?
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Guesses. That's the also a band we got promo stuff from that was probably the second thing that I checked out this year. I picked both of them for, but two female guitar players and the band's called Dictated. That's awesome. But yeah, the album is The Deceived. That song was They Live, They Suffer, They Die. It's a, there's a great clip from Walking Dead in there when Rick's like, this isn't a democracy anymore. And then this other riff comes in and it's pretty well placed. But I really enjoyed the whole album. Like I'll admit it, it was probably like just shallow of me to be like, oh, female guitar players, I'll check this out. But it's just as like really raw, just meat and potatoes, just straightforward, brutal. Lots of groove, lots of just really heavy, nice, you know, good riffs and good, you know, build-ups and stuff. And just, like, really something that every time it came up, like I said, every time the shuffle a lot of the shit, that's mostly what I do, you know, after I listen to Bob and Tom. And every time it came up, it was just, I enjoyed it more and more. You know, I never felt like I wanted to skip past anything. And so, nice. Good stuff.
Good times, all right.
Mastodon? No.
Close.
All right. Oh! Shit. Fuck.
Fuck. What's the first letter of the band?
K.
K?
I ain't gonna help. I give up. I'm gonna kill myself, so.
Alright, that was on Wings of Feather and Wax by Killer Be Killed. So that was a... supergroup album that dropped down this summer. It's Greg Puciato from Dillinger, Max Cavalera from Sepultura, or Soulfly, or Cavalera Conspiracy, whatever the fuck he's doing these days. The bassist for Mastodon, which I don't know his name because I don't like Mastodon. And then Credibility Killer number 81. And then the drummer from the Mars Volta. So these four guys.
That is a crazy lineup.
Yeah, and it's so like I wasn't even sure what I was expecting from it. And then I again, you know, streamed it on Spotify just to kind of see, and I ended up going and buying the CD because it was so fucking good. And the thing is, like, it's you know. Supergroup albums and those types of things. I mean, I think the only other like supergroup I can think of that's really gotten me that excited was Down. You know what I mean? Yeah. Where it's like, it's a bunch of guys from different bands, but they've all kind of, you know, brought their own influences to bear, but they've created something that's completely fresh and original and just, in all reality, this album is just fun. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So as far as, it's not super technical. It's not like anything, you know, super trippy or anything that's gonna, you know, anything that Pitchfork would fawn over. But it's just a fun, consistently listenable album, and it's one that I just kept going back to and going back to and going back to. So
nice. So that was the Dillinger guy singing, and then Max is playing guitar.
So on the verse, that was the guy from Mastodon on the vocals, and then it was Dillinger guy on the chorus, and then there's a couple of songs where Max takes lead. I think he does on the second track, and I think the sixth track. But they all just kind of change duties, and it's never just one guy on any of this. So that it's very, and that's what I like about it. It comes across as very collaborative and very democratic, and no one's really jockeying for the spotlight. You know what I mean?
It's just let's just do this.
You know, because in that type of situation, I mean, every single one of these guys is from a high profile band, so there's high potential for, you know, fevered egos and you know, especially like shit talking after the fact that this didn't really pan out the way I wanted it to, and nobody was listening to my ideas, and it was just more like everyone just kind of came together and everything gelled, and it just worked, and they just put it together, and they went and they ran with it, and it's fucking awesome.
Yeah, cool.
So
I'll have to check that one out for sure. Let's see. I'm going to go down to the main riff here, because the main riff is just... What the fuck? Wait for it. It's just so fucking crazy. Yeah, dude. So on the subject of supergroups, Conquering Dystopia, their debut album. So you've got Jeff Loomis, who's playing with Arch Enemy now, which is awesome. You've got Keith Merrill of internet fame. You've got Rudy on the drums, Alex Rudy, Rudiger, and of course Alex Webster on bass. I mean Campbell. So fucking all beasts of players. There's no vocals or anything. Just super, super talented musicians, and the songs are good, but it's more of a technical aspect where I just kept playing over and over, just in awe.
Yeah,
holy shit! And the guitar tone, it's refreshing because it's super, super clear. It's not, you know, heavily distorted. You can hear every note, and it was just... I went trying to watch the playthrough videos, like, how the fuck are they doing that? But yeah, good tunes. Good tunes. And it's not... It wasn't released on, like, a label or anything. It was all just DIY, just self-funded on the internet, you know, just go buy it digitally or whatever. I think they did vinyl through Century Media because there was demand for it or something like that, but... Yeah. Cool. Just refreshing to see.
Nice. Alrighty, moving on next here. riff right here.
Is this Origin?
Woo!
I got some street cred.
Yeah, Omnipresent from Origin. That song was All Things Dead. And the main reason I kept these on my list was I really feel like it was a step up. I mean, I really enjoyed the last one, mm-hmm. and which was, I don't think it was last year, it was the year before, Entity. But anyway, at
it
that
was
time,
2011,
was it? Jesus. Yeah. And at that time, like, that was my first experience with Origin, because like a lot of things, I just late bloomer or whatever. Anyway, and I really liked Entity, but I feel like this really like. I feel like it was better. Like, the production, I feel like it was better. I feel like there was, like, more, a little bit wider range of songwriting. I mean, with Origin, everything's just pretty much balls to the wall constantly. But, you know, there's the track on there that is just the tapping thing.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Stu did a review of this, and that was one of his beefs with it. He was like, I don't really get it. But I liked it. I just thought it was, like, kind of a nice break. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, it definitely wasn't overly edited or anything.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like, this is me doing what I do, and there you go. But, you know, it has the same just like furiously catchy stuff that Origin does, and I was a big fan of the whole thing. One I can keep going back to.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one of the few that I bought the physical of this year. So.
Ah.
How am I going to have a top 10 list without these guys?
Yep.
It's like you said, like, how the fuck?
How has nobody ever done that?
Especially that.
Oh yeah.
Tasty.
God damn it! I just, you know, that whole end riff that they do, like, I don't know. We've talked about this on previous shows, but there's something to be said for consistency.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Insomnium are nothing if not consistent. You know, they don't keep re-releasing the same album. But like you said, it's like, how does no one written these riffs?
Yeah.
How do these riffs never come to anybody's mind? You know what I mean? Because they
seem...
Exactly. But still, I mean, in the whole album, again, just, you know, start to finish. Just, you know, completely consistently listenable, enjoyable. So...
What I really liked about that one is they finally started to really embrace clean vocals.
Well, they got them right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think there was a problem with them embracing them, but I think that, at least in the last two, it was kind of, you know, I think with Shadow...
They wanted to experiment and kind of feel it out if, you know, how do we do this type of thing.
Yeah, like I think with Across the Dark, they were kind of dipping their toe in the water, but they weren't really sure, and I don't think the guy that was doing the cleans was really sure of himself, and then somebody else kind of took the reins on the next one, and, you know, they expanded on that. But see, on that one, it was a little overblown. I think there's a good balance on this one.
Yeah.
I think it's not just an embracing of the cleans, but it's peppering them in there tastefully enough that it doesn't detract from their overall sound, you know what I mean? Which I think they were in danger of pushing that envelope, you know, on the previous one. So
Yeah, embracing was a bad term, but yeah. Perfecting.
God damn it.
Well, with the Falcon.
One job.
One job. Ah.
Oh.
I just want to let it go for a minute.
I'm staying quiet on this one.
So, well, and to kind of speak to that point, that's obviously it's in my top 10. I love it. But for some reason, it doesn't grab me as much as it did for you two. Like, I still love it, but I know that's, like, super high up on your guys'.
Fuck out.
No, get the fuck out. Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, point number 101 here. It's awesome. It just... For you know, it's different for every person.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what grabs mm-hmm. some person and still thinks is perfectly legitimately good just isn't like, oh, I just don't quite get it.
You know? I'm between the two. I mean, I still really love it, but it's... I'll spoil it. It's not my number one, so...
Okay, alright.
But it was...
I needed a picture to make a meme of that.
It was one of the few that I thought for sure would be on all three of our lists. So
yeah.
Let's see. So next up, this kind of is in line with my last pick too.
Mechana.
Yep.
This is my favorite song off that album.
Yeah, well, it's fucking, this electronic
when
those thing.
When electronics yes. kick oh, in, yeah, yeah.
So catchy. When I played this for Kim, and I was like, listen to this part, and it came in, and she's like, I don't like it. Like, what?
What's wrong with you?
She did like this part. She's like, oh, wow, this is cool. I'm like, yeah, just wait, just wait. This thing? That's so fucking badass.
Oh.
Yeah, and then she was like, ew, I don't like the vocals. I'm like, what are you talking about? That's like... It's so good. It's like yeah. everything fits so well with those guys.
I had the strangest urge to play Star Fox now. Right? I felt like that would have been the perfect thing.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
I'm going to bust out my 64.
Mm, buddy. Call me.
Yeah, like with the Origin, I feel like I really liked Imperium, but I feel like the production on this was better. I really liked the electronic stuff that they added in. I feel like it was just like... them doing what they do and adding a little bit more, you know?
Yeah.
And
I think we talked about that before where, you know, this one, I think Empyrean was real conscious of itself being bombastic and really yeah. being all about the symphonics, whereas this one's a little more... that sound's still there, but it's not so self-aware. You know what I mean? It just happens.
Yes.
And everything just meshes.
Right.
And it just yeah. works.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Yeah, spot on.
Good call.
Xenon, right? That's the name
Xenon,
of that one.
Yep.
The blue one.
Yeah.
All right, so this one, I got to cue this one up. This one surprised even me as far as like what my regular tastes go. So this one just kind of caught me off guard. And I can't even remember how I found this on Spotify. But this album, if I were to like to nail down an album other than Fallujah that really like defined my summer, it's this one. So, let's go with this one. I have to let this run for a second because it.
Minds,
Mostly because it's like a 15-minute song. But we can go 7 minutes, right? We can let
that's right.
That's fair use.
Yeah, less than half.
Should have time stamped this. I gotta find. You know, we did a whole episode on vocal hooks.
Yeah.
You know, so let's see if I can find this here. Okay, so this is where kind of the song kind of shifts gears, but just you just get them. Okay.
Drumming.
Oh, that's sick.
Right? Just wait for it. Kind of reminds me of Genesis in a lot of ways. Just...
Oh, the bass line following the vocal line.
Wait for it. There's a couple of spots in this next little bit. I have to let this run. I know, but you'll get goose.
Just
right here. Okay, but it gets better. That's the thing. It gets better.
That's saucy. So,
like those drive bits?
Yeah.
Like, God damn. Okay, wait. Here it comes.
I've never seen him with more bated breath.
Wait.
Oh.
Not right?
Wow.
They do that twice, so they hit that vocal line one more time in the song, but it's, oh my god, and the thing is, like, so, the song is A Dream Within a Dream, by Anubis Gates. So it's actually about the movie Inception. So,
oh, really?
You know, that part about why would you leave me, you know, and thinking about his wife jumping to her death and stuff like that. Like, it makes it so sad! But, like, it's so, you know what I mean? But, like I said, it's a long song. It's like 15 minutes long. But when I first discovered it, and the whole album, that's probably the longest track in the album. There's actually, I think it's the third track in the album. It's actually almost the exact same song. So it's like for the first minute. So it's actually they're calling back that song, and then they're like expanding it.
I love that. I love that type of stuff.
And so I don't know if it's a concept album, but hook after hook after hook after hook after hook, vocally, instrumentally, That whole album just, I mean, like I said, and I think I might have shared it with you and David Bernal.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got really excited because I prog metal is like not my thing, like at all, especially like that, like Air Supply type vocals. Like I just can't always do it, but I don't know why that whole album just grabbed me. You know, like I said, if I had like one album that I just constantly listened to like all summer, it was between this one and Fallujah, but yeah, fuck.
What's the band again? Anubis Gate?
Anubis Gate.
Cool.
So.
Very cool.
Sorry, ate up like half the show, but.
So that 15-minute song in Inception time, it's compounded,
right? that's like 30 years. That's what it's like 30 years to listen
depends
to.
Depends on the dream,
right?
Or how close you are to a black hole.
Oh, don't even get me started. I love that. Love it.
I haven't even seen that movie, so I won't spoil anything.
All right, I won't. It's good, though.
Yeah.
Just check it out.
All right.
Revocation, right?
Yeah. That is off of Deathlist, their newest one. I'm going to be honest. That was a total late bloomer for Revocation. I didn't even get into them until their last self-titled album. And then it was okay. And then I saw them live once. I forget with who. And then I saw them at the one show.
With Whitechapel.
Yeah, with Whitechapel. And they played one of the new tunes off of that. And what the fuck? This Dave guy is just incredible.
He is, man.
And I know you guys did the interview. I was just kind of like, okay, whatever. It's his Steve Vai equivalent. But then you watch the guy play, and it's just like, this is effortless.
Yeah. What the fuck? He is. He's like on a world all his own, man.
He's like butter.
Yeah. Like butter.
Yeah. I mean, this one, Deathless, it was an excellent album, and it. Mm-hmm. I didn't have it in my top 10, and I agonized over it. It pained me.
Yeah.
Not to include it, but I think it's one of those, and I kind of mentioned that earlier, where you know there's something that's very technical and high energy, but does it have the sticking power? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The first couple of listens, you're like, "Fuck yeah!" This, and then it just kind of tires you out. You're like, "That's a lot."
Yeah. They're doing a lot of things.
For me, like that one kind of falls like in the same category as the Origin and the Mechana for me, because I feel like it's better than their last one.
Right.
And especially like songwriting wise, there's I can't remember the name of it, but it's towards the end, I think. And it's this, real like catchy. It's a riff that doesn't quite sound like Revocation to me. They like expand on it and like do it over. I think it's one of those where like they drop it down. I think there's like a clean guitar of it and then it comes back like heavy. If I remember right, but I remember that being like super catchy,
yeah.
And it was also one that I was like, it just like barely didn't make my list,
yeah.
But yeah, those guys,
they can do no wrong as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. All right, this was my second biggest surprise, I guess, for me.
Is it Rings of Saturn?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't even listened to this one yet.
I know why I caught that.
Because it sounds like a computer.
It's hard drop. Yeah.
Yeah, Rings of Saturn, Lugal Kyan is the album. And so I'll first say that we saw them play with Aborted, and I remember not really being that impressed.
Okay.
I think I said like it was just, you know, like fretboard wankery the whole time. Like I don't remember any catchiness at all. I just remember like sweep after sweep after sweep. That's what I took away from it. That's all I remember, honestly.
Yeah.
And then And then I saw that article. I wanted to bring that up too.
Yeah.
But the reason I checked that out at all is because Stu reviewed it and he gave it like a 9.9. And you know, he's always about like the 0.5s and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason it was a 9.9 or 8 or whatever, there's one song that starts with this really obnoxious like riff. It's almost as bad as the Hate Eternal. Yes. Where it's like, what? What? It's not quite as like erratic as that, but it's just weird. It didn't bother me as much as it bothered him, but like I was like, for him to give like that high, I was like, I'll check it out, you know what I mean? And either it's a totally different band or I just don't remember like what they were actually doing, you know, or they're just doing different stuff, but there's lots of really good riffs. It's not all just lead solo sweep, you know what I mean? It's there's really good, like there's some good breakdowns, there's some really like catchy riffs. The vocal stuff is pretty, really mean, you know, sounding. And the production's like top notch. I was really impressed. I was really surprised that, cause I really went into it thinking like, I'm probably not going to like this. And I really did. And then, so the thing about the Guitar Pro, article that, you know, I read that and I remember thinking like, I wasn't there. You know what I mean? Like I could take this guy's word for it, but mm-hmm. I kind of feel like the only people that should be able to make that kind of claim like this was is the guitar player and the producer who were actually there. You
have
know
you
I mean?
Used Guitar Pro?
That's another thing. Okay. I used I think we tried Power Tab with the last album we did in 2007.
Okay.
That shit's hard.
it's difficult it's, to do. Yeah.
So then I started thinking like the more I was enjoying this and I was like, you know what? So let's say all that like really technical shit is Guitar Pro. What's the difference between that and like Mekana like programming all the like string
right.
stuff? Well, the difference is more people play guitar than play strings. But should that mean that like it's not okay to do it? Like it's one thing if the guy's like doing it and lying about it, then that's kind of like shady. But like if he was like, yeah, I can't play that, but we wanted this, you know, that sound. That's what we wanted the song to sound like, so we did it.
Yeah.
Does it bother me? No, I don't care.
I was offended at first because I'll tell you that sounds exactly like Guitar Pro. When it's at the beginning, that's exactly
really?
How it sounds. I'm not gonna make claims of whether or not he did it, but it does sound like it. And I got offended at first when I read the article, like motherfucker, you can't even play the bars. But then, like you said, people fucking program drums all the time now. So
yeah.
Really, how is that much different? And if you can play live, it's not like you're fucking Dragon Force or the Heart Machine where you purposely record it slower and then you speed it up after you recorded it, because both those bands do that. If he can play it live, then, you know, who am I to nitpick? Whatever.
Yeah. I think it's just like a taste thing. Like, I like the way the song sounds, and, like, at the end of the day, like, I don't really care how they did it, you know what I mean? Because, you know, I'm going to break the fourth wall here, guys, but, you know, like, with our album, it's heavily edited. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And some of that's like Dave's, like that's just the kind of producer Dave is, you know, like he wants things to be polished. And we're not going to argue because it's like, wow. You know, I'll tell you, like there was some times like I'm laying down the guitar and like we double it, you know, and I'm like, I hit those like pretty fucking close. That's like the exact same.
Yeah.
And then he'll zoom in and it's like, you can see the waveform is like, there's like a fraction of a centimeter where it's off, and he'll move it. And you listen to it and you're like, oh my God, that little tiny bit like makes a huge difference when you listen to two guitars that are like matched up. And like, you know, he's that kind of producer. Like he wants the shit to be polished. So, you know, for a band like us that are really not like, you know, stellar musicians, I don't care. Like I listen to him like that's how I hear it in my head. Like I want that to be the forever version of this.
Yep.
Like if we can't play it exactly like that live, meh. I mean, there's a line. Like, we're not gonna record something that we can't at least pull off live.
Right, exactly.
But you know, we're not. None of us care that much to like be like Dave Davidson, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like that, there really, I really feel like there's few and far people that can hit things like so spot on, exactly like the same as it would sound in a studio. You know, like and not have to. Have any editing?
Studio's
stuff,
meant
so.
To not. It's meant to get you in your top form and display the song. That's
yeah.
all that
yeah.
it is. It's not live.
Yeah, it's funny because with the first albums we did, like the guy was very purist. Like, this is,
you know, this is rock and roll.
Yeah, I want it to be. You know, we recorded live, like all of us except for the vocals. Everything was recorded live at the same time.
Yeah,
and that was his thing. That's the kind of person he was. He wanted it to be like this is what you guys sound like. And we were like, cool. And then with Dave, it was like, this is what the song sounds like.
Right.
Regardless of how well we can do it in one take. You know what I mean? And now I'm like, yeah, that's the way to go. Like, for us anyways, like, that's what I want, you know, in 30 years when I go back and listen to this stuff, I want it to be the absolute most polished, like, perfect version of the song.
Yep.
So, anyway, yeah, I really like the Ring of Saturn, like, partly because I wasn't expecting to, and it really consistently, every track just, like, blew me away. It was, like, way cooler than I remember seeing them live, you know, a lot more versatility. It's not just all wankery.
Yep. You know?
Good stuff. I would recommend it.
Sweet.
Jared's like, fine. Oh. Oh, I'm gonna kill myself.
Cheater!
What's the first letter of the band?
It's a B. Oh, B makes it easy because I don't have to cycle through the whole lot. Fuck my bees, it's not in there. I don't know. I'm just get it over with.
Black Crown Initiate.
God damn it!
Come on!
God damn it!
You were fawning over that.
I know, and that's such a good album.
Yeah, it had to be number 4. Again, this one just goes back to, you know, the repeat listenability, and I think that, you know, whereas there were a lot of bands this year that came out with some really highly technical albums that were really good from a theory and from a virtuosity standpoint, I think that this is one of the few that was, you know, well anchored in melody and well structured, and there was a grandiosity to it, you know what I mean? And it's one of those where you're kind of, you know, they put out the 4-song EP earlier this year, and, like, everyone and their mom was talking about it, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so, at some point, you kind of expect they're just going to be, like, a flash in the pan, and there's no way that, okay, yeah, they were that good on an EP, but, you know, how are they going to sound on a full length? And when the full length dropped, it was, like,
jaw-dropping.
Just completely, you know. So, I mean, tons of influences, and just there's a bombast to it, I think, that is missing in, you know, with, like, the Arch Spires and the, you know, the Beyond Creations and the Jaw for a Cowboys, where it's technically on point and it sounds clean and everything's, you know, you're like, but, you know, can you anchor it? Can you keep it grounded in a melody that sticks? Mm-hmm. And that's where these guys win against all those every time. So,
nice.
Fucking awesome album.
Hell yeah. Let's speak to that point.
JFAC.
The king of segues.
That's how I roll.
I'll let it go for a second.
Bass heavy for sure.
Oh yeah. But it doesn't sound overpowering. It's very mid-rangey, so I guess it sits well.
Yeah.
And this is the verse, so you'd expect it to pick up a little, but it doesn't. And that's really why I picked that, because JFAC, they've been deathcore, they've been tech death, whatever you want to call them. It's always been just kind of fastballs to the wall stuff. That album is consistently like that type of speed.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's much, I don't want to say it's doom, because it's not, but they've slowed it down, and whoever they've got on lead guitar now, I forget the guy's name, is just a beast. Super, super melodic guy. Super shreddy, too. It's just nice to see them pull it back so far.
Nice.
Yeah. I think that album, I mean, that was one I didn't include in my top 10. It was solid, and I think that's... Mm-hmm. It was interesting to see, a lot of people that band members and then bands that I follow on social media that, 5 years ago, oh, JFAC, deathcore, and then all of a sudden they're on their dick.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a really good album, man, whatever. I think that if I were to look at that album, like, thematically, and something that kind of struck me is that it's that album is really about creating dissonance and defying expectations.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of twists and turns.
Conscious decision.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that you know what you're in for if you look at the cover art that Tony Cole did. And Tony's an excellent artist, and I don't know if this was intentional, but the palette that he used, the color scheme is so, to me, it's jarring. And it's not that it's offensive. It's that you have those bright yellows and oranges set against the cooler blues and purples. And it creates this dissonance with your eyes. Like, it almost hurts my eyes to look at it. Like, not in a bad way, but it just, my brain can't reconcile those colors being next to each other.
I can't see detail because of the jarring colors.
Yeah, it drives me insane because you're like, you want to look at it, but you're like, God, those colors don't belong next to each other.
Goddamn Broncos.
Yeah. And it's
don't like football, Jerry. Yeah.
No, I just, it's because it's just that, it's those off blues and those purples set against the, and if you look at it, and I remember it, I'm not going to pretend to be an art expert by any stretch of the imagination, but I took like kind of a basic art theory class in college, and we talked about, complementary colors and how, most artists are very intentional about keeping blues with oranges and greens with purples and because those are the colors that kind of offset each other in the spectrum, so they actually have a color wheel where they're across from each other. So you can kind of, and so none of the colors in that, none of the colors in that thing belong with each other. And it drives me fucking insane. I remember when Tony first posted it, and I just remember thinking, God, what are you doing? like, it's a good piece, but just the coloring, just, and like I said, and I think that's, I want to believe it's intentional, because I want to believe that's the overall theme, is it's that dissonance, and it's that you don't know what's coming, on that, so... I don't know. That's, but it's a solid album. Don't get me wrong. Like I said, kind of this year was the year of the bassist.
Yeah. And I'm not a bass player, but that just...
Welcome to modern metal, where the bass is high in the mix and the guitars don't matter.
Oh, do you want me to call you Drew or Aisha?
Either one. So, it's a good album. But again, it's one of those you go back to, you got to be in the mood for it.
Totally.
There's a couple of times where I'll shuffle my Nano, if I'm at the gym or something, and I have to, one of the songs on that album, I have to skip it because it'll kill my motivation. It's just too slow.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha. By the way, it's K-O-E-H-L, right?
Yeah, not K-O-H-L. He misspelled his name on the liner notes.
You know what, I'm sure it was...
It's not where you go to get bargains on 100 thread count sheets, okay?
Yeah. All right. Well, this is where this ended up on my list.
Ah.
You guys. Number
3.
Killing me.
Yep.
So. Where are you going to hear anything that sounds like that?
I know, exactly.
Nowhere. No goddamn where.
Yeah. I remember the press release or whatever, it mentioned, like, it used the word otherworldly, and I remember thinking, that's exactly what that is.
You know?
It is. So, we'll save all the comments for later, I guess. In the interest of time.
You will if you know what's good for you. All right. So, we're getting to the top three. Yeah. There should be no surprises here.
Yep. Yep.
So, I just have to...
This is a workout album.
Yeah.
Because I clearly know.
So I got to bring it up to...
Is this the Davidian Descent?
Yeah.
It's like four or something, right?
You what?
Isn't it four or something, maybe?
No, it's like two...
Yeah.
That's there it is.
Can you back it up all to right. build that up?
Yep.
Ah! It is fierce.
And it just keeps going.
Yeah, the double bass comes in like, oh yeah. Yes! Oh yes, we will!
Oh, God.
Yeah. Pretty mean.
4-foot erection with a cheeseburger. Right there! Fuck!
Oh, damn.
That whole album, again, is just over and over and over. You know what I mean? Just... It never wears out. Never wears thin. Never. It just...
It's just there.
Takes a licking and keeps on ticking.
All right.
Whitechapel.
Yep. Yes, it is.
Why didn't I have that on my honorable mentions? Shit.
So, I mean, it's not the techiest thing. It's deathcore. It is what it is, but they really spent so much time on this one compared to the last one, just focusing on the songwriting. There's so many just catchy hooks.
Yep.
That just grab you and just break something.
God, why didn't that even occur to me? Holy shit. Maybe it was just because it was so early in the year, but...
Black Crown didn't occur to me, and I'm sitting here going, what the fuck? What the fuck?
It's all right. We're covering the gamut. We're doing okay.
It's taken as a whole. Okay. So this is, what, dos?
Not too much overlap. So this is number two.
This is number two. Yeah.
Okay.
Which I'm guessing that you and I both have the same number two, because I know what your number one is. And if you don't have this one, I'll be really surprised. So.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
This song in particular, too, it's like just it's the last one on the album, right? I think
it's such a good closer.
Yeah, totally. It's just epic and all, like,
especially when the symphonics start cutting in.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like
that riff that I think it's the same kind of thing that I was talking about with Revocation, that closing riff, they kind of cut to it, and it's just the one clean guitar. And then it comes back in, and it's just...
Yeah.
Great build-up on this. I think we'll just let this go for a little bit. That's all right.
Mm-hmm.
just riff after riff after riff of just tastiness.
And the fast part after that.
It's really like, I have to admit, like, I wasn't like a huge Allegiant fan, like, for some reason. I don't know. I just never, it's kind of like you mentioned with, like, I guess the Fallujah just didn't really catch me.
It didn't click.
But it did with this album. I don't know, like, and I know, like, I know Dave did the, not the one before this one, but the one before that. And then I think it was a guy in California that did the last one. And they all sound, like, really, really good. So I don't think it's just the production. I mean, don't get me wrong. The production is, like, top notch. Like, if Dave puts out an album and it's not, like, on my top ten, then something's wrong.
Yeah.
Just because he's – but anyway, yeah, it's just everything, like, it just hits on all, like, levels for me. Catchiness, you know, the riffs are real fast and brutal and just fucking the, especially this one. It's just like you said, it's a perfect closer.
Well, I was going to echo that. The last album and the one before that, like, I really liked them. I felt like they were still a really solid band, but they were just another band. And then this one came out and it was just like, okay, this is really what you get. You know, it felt like this is actually what you're trying to represent.
Yeah.
Like, this is used in your true form.
Yeah, right.
Assimilation complete.
Yeah. So on that note, we'll just get this out of the way. That groove.
Yeah.
So where's the sweet spot? It's right there.
Yeah, right. It's just like they do this like back and forth thing. Yeah. Awesome.
So good. Well, yeah, this one made an appearance earlier.
Recorded, right?
Yeah. Oh. This riff coming up.
Yeah, it is. It's just a.
I want to break so much shit,
right?
Just listening to that. I can't fathom how you can just sonically capture just that sheer amount of anger,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, so awesome.
Yeah, I'm just to point, guys. I didn't have Aborted in my top 10.
You motherfucker.
And the reason was it didn't have that extra, you know, to me. Like, I liked it equally as much as I like Global Flatline. Like, it, like, Origin, I thought it was better than the last one to me. You know what I mean? And this one, I didn't think it was better. I didn't think it was worse.
Production sealed it for me.
Yeah, really? I think the production was better, and I think just the overall flow of the album. For some reason, I don't know, like, Global Flatline just didn't...
It didn't hit me.
Well, see, and that was my first, like everything else, that was my first experience with Aborted, so I was like, I remember that one I kept going back to, like, a lot. Even now, like, there's stuff that'll pop up, like, oh yeah, this was from... And I still enjoy all of that.
Yeah.
And so it was, to me, like, on the same plane, so I just was like... That's the reason I'm not picking some of these bands is like I needed something extra, you know, for some of these ones that I love the band. I don't want to pick it just because I love the band, you know.
Right,
what I mean?
Right.
So my number one, biggest surprise for me, let me just play the intro here.
Wait.
I'll just see what you guys say.
I came here to drink myself to death. Cashed in all my money.
Says ass to mouth.
Yes. Hold on, we're gonna listen to this though. I'll tell you the point that I was. I'll tell you the moment I was sold. Hold on.
How long is it gonna take for you to drink yourself to death?
Oh, 4 weeks.
I was like, okay. Sold. Dude, I still remember the first time when I was like, done. Like that's And then ass to mouth is awesome, and the band is pretty good too. But like, seriously.
That a promo originally that we did?
Yeah.
We were like, oh,
that's
okay.
I think that's the reason I picked it is because we were talking about it. I think either we had the promo or you, it was like a new release and you're like, ask about
that. Well, we got the press release and I was like, this can't be.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like, this is a joke band. There's no way. And remember we read through some of the song titles and it's like, you have zero friends and like, there's a lot of like funny song titles. And I remember when I listened to it, I was like, that is not what I expected at all. It's like, it's a serious band. They're like, The reason I made that number one is because like all throughout the year I was like, well, that's going to be in my top 10 for sure. That's for sure. Every time I thought about what's going to be, oh, Ass to Mouth for sure. Love Ass to Mouth. And the band's pretty good too. But like, I love the energy level. It's just like, it reminds me of like Nails, like just like constantly just like, yeah. And, it never lets up. It's all like really, you know, like 1-2 minute long songs and just, nothing I didn't like about it. Just consistently, every time it comes up, I'm like, yes.
Give me more ass to mouth.
Biggest surprise for me because I really thought it was just gonna be like a joke band, you know. But yeah, great production and everything.
Yep,
big fan.
All right, it's my number one. No surprises here.
Yeah, kidding. Next,
no,
kidding.
No. On that note, though, the Victoria's Secret thing.
Oh my god!
Yeah, dude. Oh,
so the black thing.
Yes.
That's
black one.
That's gonna stay in my spank bank for.
I'm
a long
in the dark.
Time.
You gotta show me.
Oh yeah.
Do
what
a
am
Google.
I for?
Do a Google image. Just Google Taylor Swift Victoria's Secret 2014.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's like the first. It's like the top fucking.
See if you can find a good one of the black.
Where is it? Because some of these, I did the search earlier. I can't come to
this
the episode with a loaded gun.
No, because that's
no,
like a runway.
No, do 2014. Do it. So fix it and do 2014 so that it picks up the right. Because there's.
Ah! Yeah.
There it is. Right there.
Oh, yeah.
They're up there. Yeah.
I like that one. Yeah.
There's a bigger one.
go to Google Taylor Swift Victoria's Secret HuffPost because they did a whole that's where the article was because there's one where she's in that and she's like pointing the microphone up and I'm like, sit on top of me like that.
Just sit on my
face.
There we
go. There we go with the hip thrust out. There it is. There it is. The face. I would do so many naughty things that one. There it is. There's the picture. There's the one. Oh goddamn!
Conquer me.
I would wreck that shit.
I don't know. Does it?
Sorry, Kelly.
Kelly's too fat now. I would
bring that on.
I would split her right up the middle. Jesus Christ.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right.
Yeah.
Sorry. I didn't mean to derail it.
I brought it up. I encouraged.
God.
So I should stop. I should close this.
Yeah, it's the short hair too. I don't know why the short hair does it. It just does it for me. I don't know. All right.
Okay.
So, all right. Go ahead and set off the actual song.
Uh-huh.
This is Taylor Swift.
Yeah. I would fuck Taylor Swift to this song. right here. Just that. Fuck. I, like, God damn it. Ever, you know, they, what, they dropped this track, like, in, what, May? Or something like that. And then we got the promo, like, in June. And then the album came out, like, in July. So I was able to spend a lot of time with this album, with this song, you know, with the SoundCloud stream. Like, it's been a long, long time since I have been so, like, enthralled by an album and just intimately familiar with all the ins and outs to where I could walk along and, like, whistle that song. You know what I mean? Like, just, like, riff to it in my mind. Like, it's, I know this thing in and out, up and down, front and back. There's, like, every note is, like, my best friend. I never get tired of it, ever. And it's like, I mean, the last time, and it's weird because, like, you know, when I was, like, fawning over Oscillator by The Contortionist, and just over and over and over and over and over and over.
Yeah.
So the whole album does for me what that song does. You know what I mean? It's just, I never get tired of it, ever. You know what I mean? I sit there and, like, I listen, you know, if I'm working out or, like, I will actually be in my kitchen, like, listening to this, doing the dishes or whatever, and then I end up, like, trying to figure out, like, what, like, karate moves would look cool to some of these songs. So I start, like, especially, like, on the opening track, like, I'm like, you know, it'd be really cool to do, like, a breathing exercise, and then, like, when the riff comes in, start just fucking just, you know, just going nuts. Like, I start thinking through this in my mind, like, it totally psychs me up. Like, it's just such a, oh, God. I love everything about that fucking album.
Yeah.
That was so hard to topple. There was just no way. I had my mind made up.
Yeah.
Just on the merits of that track. And then it turned out the rest of the album kicked ass. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, I have this coworker that, you know, he's kind of annoying. But he, he's one of those guys, like, everything he does is better than you. You know, and if you've done it, he's done it 80 times better and more often and yada, 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 you know? And so I, you know, we were talking about metal, and he said he's been kind of out of the loop. Like, he was in college, you know, and he hung out in, where did he live? Like Cleveland or something like that. So, you know, he knew a guy who talked to a guy who saw Trent Reznor at a bar once, or, you know, that, like, that kind of shit. But he, you know, he liked a lot of the older metal stuff. He liked Deicide and stuff like that, you know, so he was like, oh, yeah, you know, you should make me a CD of, like, the newer stuff. I'd like to hear what's out there. And I didn't want to waste that kind of effort on him because I hate him. But
I'll just email you some suggestions.
Well, so when that came out and somebody posted on YouTube, I sent him the link. And I'm like, okay, if you want to know, like, everything that's right with modern metal, like, this is it. This is where it's going. This is the direction, you know. And I came back, oh, it was only okay. You know, he was kind of out of left field, but, you know, the melody at the end was kind of going, like, fuck you, you annoying ginger fucking.
Oh, he's redhead. He's a redhead. That would make sense.
He's a bald redhead. Who the fuck? I hate that guy. Anyway, so, I don't know. Like I said, that was how I described it. Everything that is right with the direction of modern metal is encapsulated in that song in this album. It's going to be hard to top, even next year. I don't know.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to have to bring their A game.
Yeah.
I'm sad that this is the last one, but that's okay.
Yeah. That's what I figured.
Yeah. I just want to hear the chorus.
Really great stuff.
Yeah, there's just that whole album is a solid masterpiece.
Yep.
And it's like
Interstellar. Because anyone's wondering, that was a Legion.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
There's a few that we like.
Yeah, we didn't
even talk about it.
That's why we posted it. So people can read it.
Yeah, I think sometimes we forget people are listening. Yeah, like the whole image search. Oh, go to that one. We're not telling you what to look for. We're not even going to describe it. I'm going to point to the monitor as if you can see it.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's fine.
That's like the Interstellar soundtrack before it was made.
Right?
With all the subject matter. They talked about that. It was funny. Fuck you guys.
Speaking of that, I don't think I ever got the interview from you to post.
I was actually thinking about that when I was driving home. I'm like, I have the Allegiant and
the other
and Silence Messenger sitting on my phone still. I have not. Like, in a way, that was a really fun interview, and in another way, like, I just...
Because he was pissed,
It was a lot of fun to talk to him.
It was fun to talk to him, but as far as, like, interviews go, and I think it's just because it was obvious that, like, he felt icky about just the entire situation, you know, the lineup, that whole package just seemed kind of thrown together. I felt kind of icky about, like, I wanted to see them play, but, like, as far as just everything else that was going down, it was just kind of, that whole night just seemed off to me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, not that it was a bad interview, I've definitely had worse, you know, and I've had less fun, but, yeah, that was just
But did you get the promo spot?
We did.
Just give me that.
Right.
Because I've been recycling it for
I think what messed it up, because I get like 3/4 of the way through and I realized that I still have my lead in. And so I was thinking that the mic wasn't picking anything up. So I had like a heart attack.
Well, I had that way ahead of you. I picked that up. I was like, I'm not even going to bring this up because I see sounds. I see the waveforms on the screen. I'm like, he's going. He got it.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I didn't take it too seriously. I know he was kind of stressed, so I was like trying to lighten the mood. Like, oh, let's at least make you feel a little better about the whole thing, so.
Yeah. And we were obviously keeping him from the misses. She was sitting six feet behind him when he was like,
shut
up.
He's been on tour. Come on.
I want to take him home and get me some before he leaves again. So, but yeah. I may upload it. We'll see.
Okay. Well, at least the promo spot. So hey, Liz.
4 months later.
Yeah, right.
Awesome year for metal. We'll see what next year brings. Is there anything you guys are looking forward to?
Honorable mentions.
Oh, duh.
Duh.
Yes, please.
Before you get to that, I don't know if it's coming out next year necessarily or not, but Cal's going to the studio again.
Yeah, so they're going in January. In fact,
are they doing Dave again? Uh-huh. I mean, they always do Dave, so okay.
Well, they just did. They last time was the first one with Dave, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, you're right. Sorry.
He mentioned the guy that did some of the like percussion extra stuff in the Legion is doing some stuff for Cattle.
Okay.
And anyway, that should be really good. That's probably like top of the expectations for me.
Yeah.
So a lot of my honorable mentions were ones that you guys picked. You know, the aborted Ghost Brigade. That was like really close.
Yeah,
I really liked it, but it was almost that was really tough for me not to include because I did feel like it had the little bit extra that beyond the last album, like Electric Complex. That there's just those extra noises. There's like I don't know what the name of the instrument is, but it was like a and it kind of like echoes off and gets quieter, and it's
the
perfect
Halloween instrument.
Yeah. let me just do it.
That's Friday the 13th.
It's not a horror movie buff.
God.
You can do whatever later.
Oh, I will.
Hold on right here. It's the
yeah.
Very moody.
That sounded like it was a muted guitar string with a lot of delay. That's what that sounded like.
Dude, he's playing all those notes, dude.
So list them off.
Yeah. Abysmal Dawn was really good, but I feel like Abysmal Dawn was kind of like same level. There was definitely a lot of catchy stuff, but I didn't feel like there was as much like new-ish.
Cannibal was an honorable.
Yeah, yeah, Cannibals was really good. Pillory, that was like a band that like I can't remember if we got a promo or you met yeah, or Jared, you mentioned promo. Them. That it grew on me a lot. The no, I don't want to play it. Sorry, my bad. Misery Index. I like.
Oh yeah,
I like the Misery Index a lot. That was a tough one not to pick.
You know, I almost picked the new Contortionist, and I would have got. You know, I'll get a lot of shit for saying that. I like it for being in the right mood, and if I completely disregard what they've done in the past.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought that up because my first two listens, I mentioned, like, nothing stuck with me at all. And what was interesting is I kept it on my phone, and when it would, like, come up in a shuffle, like...
You would leave it going or whatever?
Well, like, yeah, I'd be like, oh, I remember this song. And it was weird, like, it, so it, like, at least stuck in my, like, subconscious, and I've grown to like it. I don't hate it. I didn't hate it at all, but I like it more than I did on the first couple
yeah,
listens.
Yeah, for sure.
I like it when I need to sleep.
I also like the Behemoth. I think that's
Satanist. Yeah,
I think that's probably because that was my first experience with Behemoth.
That's a good first
experience.
Because
I just never. And then same with Anathrak. I really like that, but mm-hmm. It was kind of on the same level as like the last one.
Yeah. Too,
so those are my honorable bubbles.
Legs.
I was looking through, and you know, there was a few that I called out, but I didn't really have a whole lot that I didn't get to pick necessarily.
All right. Well, I got a long old list here.
Oh, boy.
No. So, the first one is a band called, I think it's called Soen, Sane. I don't know how it's actually pronounced. It's S-O-E-N. And it was between these guys and Anubis Gate in terms of, you know, kind of number of listens and going back to the album. But this one's, like, really cool. I mean, it's definitely progressive rock. If Tool never makes another album, this makes for a pretty good stand-in. Oh. Tom Davis from Anodize, he and I get into it because he insists that there's a lot beyond the Tool influences, and I'm not going to argue with it, but it's pretty, like, apparent, yeah. You know, that Tool's a big influence on these guys. But that was an awesome album. The new Anathrak, JFAC, Art Spire, Beyond Creation, Origin. You know, catch some flack for this. Within the Ruins. It was a grower.
Oh.
Didn't like it right out the gate, but ended up buying it because you know had some good stuff on there. The new Bloodbath was surprisingly good. Decapitated, not their best work, but you know, consistently good. The new Godflesh, Old Man Gloom, Knee Obliviscaris. That one was fun. You know, kind of heavy violin type stuff. You know, it didn't really grab me like their first one did, but you know, some of the effects they were using on the violin and stuff like that were kind of grated on me at times, and it was a little overdone, but still a solid album. Some of the clean vocals bugged me a little bit too, which, you know, kind of like the Flesh God, like operatic, like, you know, which you'd probably like it, but I was like, nah. Then, you know, Revocation, Inferi, which is Malcolm Pugh from Discreet and A Loathing Requiem. The Matador, which is kind of another sludge post-metal band from Australia. They put out a good one. Sky Harbor, which vocalist is from the UK with the rest of the bands in India. And they're really kind of along the lines of Periphery, but more proggy on the vocals. Not. I don't think there's any real like dry lung, you know, like yelling vocals. It's mostly cleans, but really, really moody, really ephemeral. Tripolium from France, like swing metal. If you get a chance, check these out.
Swing metal.
Hey,
now okay. Let's be fair. Static X said they were disco metal, but this is swing metal.
Okay, so I just okay. See, you forced my hand.
Swing metal.
I didn't even know this was like a thing, but it's so. Let me see if I can. So they're from France, but
sounds like a saloon.
Yeah, right. You'd swear they're from New Orleans. Like it's.
You know what? Keep this going for a minute.
Oh no!
Oh, that's so awesome,
right?
I don't know what I think about that.
It's so good.
I don't know what I think about it.
Ooh, I found some I forgot.
Like, it's so out of left field, but it's like, because, like, their last albums, like, aren't like that at all. Like, they're they're kind of straight, just, you know, kind of proggy, like, tech death type stuff. So, with some groove, you know what I mean? But not, like, on that level. So, that one's a fun album, but not, like, the best thing ever. But, so, it was kind of fun. I really liked Unearth's new one. Had some good hooks on there.
It was okay to me, but yeah.
Volumes was another good one that had some good hooks, some good vocal melodies. Words of Farewell, another kind of melodic death metal that's probably a worthy successor to Insomnium's Throne or Bellicore's, if they ever call it quits. Pyron, which just completely, again, quirky, out of left field, yeah, but just, you know, an acquired taste, but still fun to listen to. And then, of course, the New Misery Index. So those were kind of my honorable mentions for the year. That, again, I was pained not to include on the list, but had to make mention of nonetheless.
I completely forgot. I almost had the new Psilosis on there. I really dug that. It was a high contender for the 1975, let me tell you. If you guys have ever heard of them. What was the other one that almost made it? Oh, I just saw it.
1975 was last year, though.
No, it was this year. Oh, well. Then Spotify's wrong. Whatever. That's like what I use as my reference point now. Fuck. Or was it? The new Psilosis, I just got into them a little while ago. They're super fucking sick. I love everything that they're doing. The Grower. Woven War. Like, I did not like that at all to start with.
Why didn't I put that in the honorable mention? Because I was listening to them. I was out walking my dog the other night, and I was like, I gotta talk about this.
Yeah,
that one completely caught me off guard. Like, I did, and I actually didn't know what to expect.
Yeah,
and why the fuck? Because I literally spent like 2 weeks. That's all I listened to for like 2 weeks, because my buddy Kim, like, he likes As I Lay Dying and stuff like that, and he's, you know, I always give him shit about, oh, Jesus metal and stuff like that, but it was, like, it was so good. Like, you just can't...
Are they Christian metal, then?
No, oh. I mean, so it's the lead singer really of an old band. Heavy. Yeah, and it's not, I mean, it's mostly clean vocals. It's the lead singer from another Christian metalcore band called Oh Sleeper,
mm-hmm.
And then the rest of As I Lay Dying minus Tim Lambesis, but it's, so it's mostly clean vocals. If not all clean vocals, and there may be a scream here and there, but it's, I mean, really good melodies, really good vocal hooks, really good, I mean, thoughtful lyrics. The lyrics aren't, I don't think they're overtly religious or spiritual.
I wasn't picking up on any of it.
You know, so, and they were real kind of on the nose with some of the press releases that they weren't really claiming to be a Christian band or anything like that, but yeah, that one was one that really blindsided me, and one that I didn't really expect to like. And I don't know why I didn't bring it up, because I was going to make a point. So, but yeah.
I just went in, and I was, you know, oh, this is the new As I Lay Dying, and when I didn't hear that, I was disappointed, and then it just kept
coming. Well, the vocals came in, I was totally expecting, like, screen vocals, you know, mm-hmm. just like another As I Lay Dying, and when the clean vocals came out, I was like, holy shit, and then I think it's the third or fourth track, it's just the chorus, God, that fucking chorus. I gotta find it now. We're going to be here until like 10 o'clock. My wife's going to kill me.
Mine's already in bed. I don't give a fuck.
It's the Tempest, yeah.
I love that distorted bass.
Yeah,
just grindy. I want to see his face.
Yeah. chorus. I don't know why it just grabs me every time.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's just it's really really catchy. So yeah, it was. I think I finally started listening to like around Labor Day weekend. I just remember it just over and over and over. Just yeah, it's good stuff.
Nice.
Yeah.
Done.
Done. God damn it!
Can't go off on a tangent on what was it? Avex Sands. That, yeah. was that from this year? Avex
yeah,
Sands.
Yeah.
That was good stuff. Yeah. The answer is great.
Churches-esque.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need to put out an album. Anyway, yeah. Maybe next year. All right, well, I think we're done. Before we go, some sad news to close the show on. I think our only female listener that we had for a long time that we always, you know, would mention her, and she always... supported on Facebook and everything. Amber, sadly passed away this year. So unfortunately we had, I kind of like fallen out of touch with her too. Like she was having a long battle with liver problems. So, it's very sad. I don't know what else to say. Like, it's a bummer. You know, our thoughts go out to her family and everybody. She seemed like a really like decent, kind person, and world's probably not a the world's worse off without her.
Well said, sir.
Yep.
So we're gonna close with another song from the Russian three-piece Tacit Fury. Again, the album is A Social Berserker. And the song is War Against All Living.
And now you've listened to Metal Speak. Fuck off.